Peace and blessings, everybody. You're listening to The Good Brother Experience, where it is I, the good brother, the original black man. I am Reek. What you doing? How you doing? How you been? One, drink some water. You need to hydrate. Secondarily, rate, review, and subscribe to my program. I'm taking this shit to the top. And with your ratings and with your reviews, I, the original, can get to where I need to get to. Last but not least, if you would like to email me at goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Once again, it's goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. So, I just want to make something clear. When I do introductions, I don't do the whole, I'm doing a lead up because you guys don't know who's coming on. The moment that you see upload and the moment you see that I have a new episode, it's very clear who the fuck you're about to listen to, right? I do these things to establish momentum with the guests that I have coming on. So a pet peeve of mine is when it's very clear who the guest is, niggas be like, nah, don't say nothing. All right, you guys might know him from such and such and such. Nigga, it's evident who the fuck I'm about to have on the show. So now that I got that piece out the way, let me do my introduction for momentum purposes. He once was at the fulcrum of the show. Y'all know the fucking name of the show. But maybe you don't know the fucking name of the show. It's so much so, I forgot the name of the show. Because I'm looking at this nigga's fucking IG and he don't got it in his fucking thing no more. And that shit is tragic. So, what I'm going to do is, in real time, I'm going to fucking look this shit up. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Ha-ha! The officially street... Nah, nigga, put your phone back on mute. The people don't want to hear from you yet. The Officially Street Podcast. You understand? This is a podcast I was listening to very avidly. But then February, they went their separate ways. He's now become one of the more prominent producers that I know. He put a beat tape out not too long ago where the beats were supposed to be the audio format of things that he wanted to express as far as things that he's been through and things that he's going through now. He's a father of 400. He allegedly is a black man, but I don't know what's going on. It's the one, it's the only, God Wash, God Sayer. What's good, boy there?
Here, what's going on, good brother? How you feeling, man?
Man, niggas is chilling. Sorry that I caught a brain fart for the Official Street Podcast, but it's...
Good, bro, I know it's been a minute, man. It's been a minute.
Nah, it's been way too long. But before we even get into that, because we're not going to just start with the controversy. That's whack.
Right.
Now, I mean, what I wanted to get to... is you listen to my show and it's very clear that I'm a bachelor and it's very clear that I live my life with absolutely no discipline. So what is it like to be not the cornball fathers that we grew up on, but you're a father of four, son, and I couldn't even imagine, because to me you don't have the personality of a nigga who's a husband and a father of four, if that makes sense.
I got you. To be honest with you, bro, I'm just myself. As corny as it sounds, I'm myself with my kids, with my wife, with y'all. You know what I mean? So I keep the young energy around me. I got kids, but like, yo, I'm 34. My oldest kid is 17. You know what I mean? So like I started out young. Like I'm with my wife, the woman that I had the four kids with and all of that. So we grew together. You know what I mean? So we were young at it. My kids now keep me in tune with what's going on outside, even if I'm like a big fan of it. You know what I mean? But I at least know what's going on. So I'm in tune. So I can move around how I want to move around. And plus, I'd be outside. You know what I mean? Like, not like that, but like, you know, I move around and like, you know me, like I'll pull up, I'll be at shows and all of that shit. Like I do music. So like I move around, bro. Like that's just like my personality. You know what I mean? Like I can't help that I'm not a corny nigga, I guess. You know what I mean? Like I'm just me all the time. So like, as long as I'm me, it's cool to, and you know, it's cool that I'm accepted. My kids love it. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I don't curse as much around my kids. I might slip up from time to time. But, like, even with them, like, you know, we share the same music taste. You know, we speak the same. You know, they pick up some of the things that I say and they tell me shit, and like I'd be confused, but I just be like, alright, I get it. Like, do you know what a leg is?
A leg?
Yes, a leg.
I technically know what a leg is.
But the term a leg.
The only other outside of a body part, the only other term that I could think it correlates with is when you're on track and you're doing the baton race.
Okay, all right, I hear that too. But no, that means that she is a promiscuous woman. She gets around. And why do I know that? Because my house is also, that's another thing. These niggas be in my crib. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still young enough. I play ball. Like, sometimes I be around these kids. The next thing I know, my daughter's friends with these kids. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, oh, shit. All right. You niggas finding out they're, like, 17 years old, and they go to school with my daughter, and they all, like, know each other and shit. So they come to my crib. You know what I mean? So I be hearing shit. I'm like, yo, what? So a leg is a woman that gets around. You learn something new every day.
Nah, that's a fact. And just to clean up what I was saying, you know, when I was coming up, and I've had the experience of seeing a whole bunch of men go towards all kinds of paths as far as lifestyles is concerned, right? And the one thing that plagues us is people view us as a monolith as far as black people, people of color, whatever have you, right? And everybody is entitled to have their own personality set because that's the uniqueness and the beauty of being a human being. And the reason why I'm saying this is because coming of age, the person who is 34 years old that was in a fully committed relationship with four kids did not have your personality type. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
So what was it about your wife that when you were so young, you was like, nah, yo, all the other shit, I don't have no FOMO as far as messing with other women. I mean, I don't feel like nothing else is going on. To come to that decision so early in life and to stay with it, because I also know a lot of niggas that was in relationships and their fathers are four and they're single. You feel me? And niggas are still maneuvering. So what was it about your wife that made you really want to tap into this fatherhood shit and this husband shit for real, for real?
Well, here's the thing. I learned early. Like, I got my heart broken early. I kind of had a few examples early of, like, I don't view all women like this, but, like, you know, some women are crazy, bro. Like, we kind of know what I'm talking about. Like, we've seen some crazy shit. So I just had some, like, wild examples. And getting my heart broken early, I already had that guard up early. So it's crazy. Like, when I first met my wife, she had a huge guard up as well. You know what I mean? But we met on some study hall shit. So I didn't even have to, like, be like, yo, can I ask you out and then get to know you? Like, we was just all around the same people. So even though, like, she kind of had her guard up, all that shit was already broken down. So once, like, we got together, like, I don't feel like I was missing a whole lot. Like, even though they used to make fun of me on the show, like, in my 20s, I do what all of us do in our 20s. You know what I mean? I had my kid early. You know what I mean? School, like, I tried to do everything, bro. But by the time I was, like, 22, 23, I was done with college. My wife was done with her college. Like, we were kind of moving, but, like, we also weren't on the same page. So we broke up. And that's when I wilded.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? That's when I wilded. You know what I mean? But then again, at that time, it was just wild shit. Like, I just had mad examples and headaches. And I was just like, yo, you know what? This lifestyle really ain't even for me. Like, to be honest with you, going out never wasn't even really my thing. Like, I was a homebody type of nigga from early. Like, I just wanted to play ball, play video games, you know what I mean? Maybe mess around and all of that shit. But I really wasn't a party type of nigga anyway growing up. Mm-hmm. So even when I was doing it, it was cool, but I was just like, eh, all right, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I got over it really quickly. And a lot of the headaches that I was dealing with, I was just like, yo, you know what? I fell back off of all of that. Like, then I went like 3 months of just like, I'm not messing with nothing. I'm going to spend time with my daughter. I'm just going to, like, I think it was a summer too. So that's usually the time when we wild out. I'm like, nah, I kind of get time off. I'm going to spend time with my daughter. At the time, I was making music still, like rapping. So I'm like, I'm going to work on this. So like, I kind of focused on something. And that's when I was just like, I got to kind of put this back together because shit don't even feel right. Like, I wasn't having fun when I was wilding. Right. You know what I mean? Even though it was cool, I was just like,
this ain't my style.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And ultimately, like, you know, she did whatever she did. We never, you know what I mean? It was cool. Like, as soon as we started talking, like, we just kind of just came back together. You know what I mean? It was a lot. It was a lot because, like, we were engaged. We broke off, like, everything. Like, it was crazy. You know what I mean? But then once we got back together, we was just like, yeah, it feels right. You know what I mean? And then it was kids. And we basically grew up together.
Right. You know why that's so beautiful to me? That's beautiful to me because you're not in a situation that niggas that I know, and when I say niggas, I don't mean this like arbitrarily because I really don't know people like this. Like legitimate niggas that went in the dating field, shit wasn't clicking, and then they just went to Old Faithful and was like, all right, fuck it. Let me just tap in with you because you know me the best. Even when you were speaking, you didn't settle for your wife. You understood that, yo, this is the woman for me. And I feel like that shit is very, very important.
Yeah, bro. You get to a point in life, bro, like you just realize, like I said, I was spending time with my daughter. I was like, nah, this feels right. You know what I mean? Me doing this, you know what I mean? It felt right, bro. And sometimes you just can't fight it. You know, I know it's just maybe it's my personality. Like, I know it's not for everybody, you know.
Hold on, bro, hold on. Yeah. Sorry about that, everybody. My loving, fantastic, fascinating, and incomparable cousin wanted to say sweet nothings to me because she loves me so much. But back to the episode with my nigga Sayer and all that. So yeah, what were we saying, Brody?
No, I was just basically rounding it out, like just saying, like I realized it wasn't for me. You know what I mean? And I knew what I wanted. And I think we both knew what we wanted. I'm assuming she kind of went through the same shit. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact.
We would speak, like, she just was just like, yeah, you know, you think it's really ain't shit out here. Yeah. You know what I
mean? Nah, that's facts. So, you know, we're 12 minutes and 30 seconds into the episode, right? And it's time for us to make a little bit of a pivot. You understand? I got into your family life because family is always most important. Your kids are beautiful. You know, I see from afar how you raise them. Everybody's connected. It looks like none of your kids hate you. You know what I mean? You're not in a situation to where when you drive home from work, you stay in the driveway for 45 minutes because you don't want to see your family.
There's definitely some days. Like, I just hear the music outside. I'm just like,
fuck, son. I'm with you, but it looks like overall, like things on and popping and clicking as far as that's concerned. So I just wanted to make sure the viewership and the listenership heard that. But you were a very well-respected podcaster. You know, I met you via the medium of podcasting. I had the opportunity to be on your show. I came to a couple of your live shows. I have merchandise that you guys gifted to me the first time I was on your show. And
you got the OG shirt.
You feel me? And I can really feel you on this because I too was a part of a popular show that disbanded for whatever reason, right? The thing about it though is it appears though you guys had a rhythm going. You guys never missed a week. You know, I would listen every week and it never sounded as though you guys were at odds with one another. So without so much as even like a goodbye episode, what was the catalyst as to how you guys or why you guys just disbanded in the first place?
I mean, I won't get into full detail until, you know, everybody comes together and speaks.
Hold on, Sire. Sorry about that. First it was, you know what I'm saying? First it was my cousin and then it was my aunt. Just all the lovely women in my life just choosing this opportunity to speak to me. You feel me? So yeah.
What I will say though, I will take majority of the blame though, because I decided to walk away. You know what I mean? And I needed a break. I was having a lot going on at home. Cause like you said earlier, I got four kids. You know what I mean? Football, working, music, cause I'm still producing. You know, like you said it, bro. We did live shows. You know, we never missed a week. Like the only time we would take a break is when we went like on a marathon recording. And them days, you might know what that shit is like. It's exhausting, bro.
Hell yeah, I know what that's like.
So I kind of just, like, I got to a moment where I was just like, yo, I just need a break. But I was just like, it was like one of those, like, I have to walk away. Like, I'm not talking, like, if you may have noticed, like, I think maybe sometime after the live show, I was gone for like a month and they held it down. Like, I think we may have had, like, an interview lined up somewhere in there. But, like, at that moment, I took a break. You know what I mean? And I was able to kind of just get everything back in line. And, you know, doing the show, you know, another thing is it went from a passion project to, again, you know, you may know what this shit feel like. It turned into, like, almost like a job. Because now, imagine all the shit I'm doing, I also used to write the show. So as I'm doing all of that, in between, I have to be looking up topics or coming up with topics, doing this. Like, yo, it feels so good to, like, just be able to put my phone down and not have to be on Twitter seeing what's going on and trying to just think of things. Like, I was able to just unplug, bro, and it felt amazing. And then when I came back, of course, I love it. Like, because I love that hustle and bustle. I love moving around and all of that shit. But again, it just started getting chaotic again, bro. And I was just like, yeah, nah. I felt at peace here because even though I was still moving around, like, I didn't have to do this. I didn't have to, you know what I mean, for the show. And I think I just got to a point where, enough was enough. So I walked away. You know, and, you know, whatever happened after that. But, you know, that's why we never even got, like, you know, a goodbye episode. I know people be asking, and I'm like, you know, it'll happen sometime down the line, but it's not going to happen no time soon, though.
You know, it's...
But it ain't going to happen no time soon.
It's a sticky situation when you're a part of a team effort while simultaneously having it in your mind that you need to choose yourself first. And... You know, walking away from something because you had other interests, because this is just me guessing here, you wanted to commit more of your free time towards your artistry in the realm of production, right?
Yes and no, because I was still doing that when I was doing the show. But, however, it did take up a good amount of time now. It freed up a lot more time to be able to kind of be where I'm at right now.
And, you know, one of the doper things about you is you're an anomaly in this way, because as a Spanish nigga, Spanish niggas don't walk away from anything. Y'all niggas are tapped in. You put that shit on my face at 5 years old, nigga, that's what it is until I'm dead.
Nah, this is a fact. And that's honestly that. Yo, as funny as it is, bro, it did kind of feel like that, though, bro. Like, I didn't want to walk away. Because I loved it, bro. I still miss it. You know what I mean? I do miss it. Yeah, you know what I mean? I miss being able to, like, get out here and speak. You know what I mean? Because, of course, my last Twitter was moving, and I got that shit banned. So now I'm just kind of back to being little old me. So I can't even get, like, my ill tweets off like I used to, because it's like, yeah, I'm on my third account. Because right. I'll be wilding.
Facts.
You know what I mean? But, like, I used to be able to talk my shit on the show. And, you know, I used to love doing live shows. You know, we packed out two shows in New York, and we packed out a show in Philly.
As a fact. You I was know? There and, at the New York show. One of them. I know you did a few of them, but one of them I was there.
Yeah. We got the flicks and all of that. And that was, like, right after we was able to get, like, outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we had a show before that, and then we had the show in Philly after that. I love it. You know what I mean? And that was all us, too. We ain't had nobody backing us. Like, it really was just us getting, like, yo, we had Premier Beats, the A-Kings, It's The Real. Like, we had people on our show. And fact. I was just off of us.
It's a fact.
You know what I mean? We had nobody, you know what I mean, doing nothing for us. You know what I mean? But you know what that shit's like. Like, yo, you just constantly moving, bro. And sometimes I'm getting a little bit older, bro. Like, my life is about balance. And, you know, sometimes it's a little too much, bro. And everything just gets out of balance. And I'm all about keeping shit in balance. And, you know, if it's putting something down to, like, really balance everything out, then I have to do what I have to do kind of thing. You know, I hate to say it like that, but sometimes you kind of have to focus on you and what's important. You know what I mean? Like, I was able to focus on my family. You know what I mean? I'm assistant coach on my kids' flag football. You know what I mean? I had to be out there.
Your son got hands? Does your son have hands? Fuck that. Before you continue, does your son have hands?
Well, as far as out there, yo, we made it to the championship his second season.
What position does he play?
And he's running back. But he could also go out and catch.
That's what I meant by hands.
Yeah, nah, he could catch. We started, like, that was my thing. Like, yo, once I saw he could run, I'm like, all right, now you can, we could catch. Nigga, the only reason why we lost the championship is because they had Randy Moss's grandson on the team. Because this little nigga, there's 15 seconds left on the clock. Yo, we just scored. We up by 4. We celebrating on the side. They throw a Hail Mary. I'm just sitting there like, fuck out of here. Randy Moss Jr.
caught it
over the shoulder. I'm like, yo, he's 8. I looked at the father. I was just like, yo, I need a birth certificate. Ow!
How old? 8-year-olds do not do over-the-shoulder catches.
Son! Because my son he was playing basically, I think it goes 6 and 7. But, like, if you were 7 going on 8, because, like, that kid now, he's going into, like, the 9 and up, you know, range, whatever that range is. But, like, you know, my son was covering this kid. So the kid was nice. But that kind of shows, like, how my son was. Because my son, he was dedicated, bro. Like, we was outside pretty much every day I come home from work. You know what I mean? Can we throw around the football? So, bro, that's another thing, bro. Like, I have to have time for that. You know what I mean? My daughter also played. Pardon me. Let me not even pass that. My 7-year-old was out there, and she was nice with it. So we was, you know what I mean, bro? So, like, I have to focus on that. That's important, bro. My family is important. My health. You last time you spoke, you like, nigga, I saw you got fake healthy. Yeah, nigga, my health. I wanted to get myself in shape. That's why I can still go out and play ball, even though my body ain't recovering how it used to.
Facts. I already know how that go.
I want to do this so I can still be running around with my kids. My daughter, she's older. You know what I mean? She's doing hair and nails and makeup. I got to be involved with that. Shout out to Jay and his wife, because she does that shit. So, they're like, you know what I mean? Like, I have to be involved with all of this shit, bro. And then I still got to do a show and music and nah.
So,
it's too much, bro.
One more Spanish question.
Go ahead, bro.
What is your overall feel on fashion in the Spanish community?
Oh, no, it's horrible. Now, here's the thing. Yes, I'm Spanish, but I'm also from the Bronx, but I'm from the area that they basically call Little Jamaica. So, I basically grew up around, like, Jamaicans, Haitians, Puerto Ricans, you know what I mean? Shit like that, but, like...
Hold on. I don't want to cut off what you're saying, because I know that you was about to get into a flow, but... Jamaicans, Haitians, and Puerto Ricans also aren't known for their fashion.
Nah. I guess maybe the area in the Bronx I was at, because I'm more from uptown. So I don't know. I was around niggas that can dress. I don't know. I have one questionable photo that you make fun of, and I did that mocking somebody with an inside joke. It was an inside joke, but unfortunately, only me and this nigga know the joke. So I look wild in the photo. I get it. But you've never seen me outside look crazy, Rick. Have I?
Nah, not at all. Nah, you've always...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, I grew up around niggas that can dress. I'm over from, like, Bronxwood, East 231st, all that shit. Like, I don't know. I didn't grow up, like, in the South Bronx, I guess. Those of them, like, I be seeing them wild niggas out there. Them Dominicans are the worst.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Seen Dominican fashion? Oh, my goodness, bro.
Have I seen Dominican fashion?
I stay far away from it.
Dominican women don't wear back pockets. in Dominican men. That's off top.
And they it's just there for design.
I mean, and the one thing that I've seen Dominican men do is they went from Team Jordans to Air Max 270s.
Oh, and that's another, yo, I just roasted a nigga for wearing the whatchamacallit 11s on Twitter not too long ago. Like, it's, why do these dudes do?
Yeah, just
Team Jordans get me hot. Unless you're not on the team.
Right.
Like, if you're not outside playing basketball, don't wear those outside.
And you know what? Let me, can I just get the floor for like 45 seconds? Do you mind?
Yeah, no, you got it.
So, because this is what I've been told. Like, yo, you should mind your business, or people are, they have the ability to wear whatever they would like to wear. I mean, it's not up to you. I mean, a grown man can wear whatever a grown man wants. It's his money, and whatever his style choice is whatever his style choice is. And I have pushback on that. And my pushback comes from what he's deciding to buy. There's other cool-looking sneakers that have equal value to Team Jordans. He's not buying Team Jordans because he just so happens to like the aesthetic of the shoe. He's buying Team Jordans because he wants the prestige that comes wearing a pair of Jordans. But the nigga is cutting corners in doing so. If he was to wear a pair of Vans, nobody would say nothing. If he wore a pair of Pumas, nobody would say nothing. If he wore some New Balances, nobody would say nothing. Specifically now with New Balance having this resurgence in the streetwear community. But he's buying Team Jordans not because he's aesthetically attracted to these sneakers. Not because these shits go with his fits. It's because he wants to be a part of the Jordan wearing community, but he's not doing the work. You know what I'm saying? He's not paying the extra dollar. So for all of you guys that be like, yo, he should be able to buy what he wants. No, he shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't.
If you're not Chris Paul, if you're not Carmelo, if you're not Luka Doncic, if you're not Zion Williamson, if you're not Joe Johnson, you should not have them shits on your feet. How do you feel about that?
First of all, shout out to ISO Joe. But no, I agree because I that's exactly why they're doing it. I moved out of New York. I moved out here and there's some niggas that dress questionably. And I've seen dudes try to wear something and then throw on a Team Jordan and think they're killing it. So that's the thing. They think just because there's a Jumpman on it that they're killing it.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it's not that. Or
it's not unfortunate. Hold on, bro. It's not unfortunate at all, actually. Yo, bro, you still there?
I just wanted to mute it because a motorcycle came by and I'm outside and shit, so I don't want that to be on the show. Pardon me.
Nah, that's all good. But I was just saying, you were saying, unfortunately, you know, I mean, that jump man is not valid, and there's nothing unfortunate about it.
Hold on real quick, bro. Give me 1 second. Somebody just pulled up. Give me 1 second, all right?
Yeah.
I'm part of you.
So, yeah. Yeah, that Team Jordan shit is absolutely foul. And Adidas are valid. There's so many sneaker choices that people can get. And I'm not believing that people are buying things because they actually like them. Not in all cases. Because there's no excuse as to why you're going to put your hard-earned money towards Team Jordans. There's no way. You can wear a black pair of Vans every single day and nobody will never say nothing to you. So, for those of you guys that are now coming of age, you back? Hold on, let me just do this last thing. For those of you guys that are of age, you're in high school, you're getting your money up, you're working at Burger King, you're working at McDonald's, you're working at Carvel, you're working at Dunkin' Donuts, this is your first foray into independence and you're starting to cop your own things, if you can't get the Jordans, don't buy the Jordans. Nobody's going to say nothing to you because here's the secret. People who buy Jordans wear it so they can get the acceptance, the societal acceptance from other people. Because women don't care. Now, if you're gay, then I have no advice for you because I'm not gay. So you have to speak to another podcast host in that capacity. But if you're someone that does things because you want to attract the women or you love the compliment that comes with, oh, you look so nice. Women don't care about the sneakers, but women do care about Team Jordans. Sire, continue.
No, pause. You touched on everything, man. Just stay away from bad footwear, first of all. Bad footwear is just, it'll kill the whole outfit. I just want people to do better. That's all, bro.
Like,
Like you said it exactly. Like I walked away from the sneaker game, but I still hop in here and there. Oh shit, those are fire. I'm not one of them guys that's like, oh, new Air Maxes, let me cop those and wear them outside. No. Just because they're new doesn't... All right, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Nah, that's a fact. You know...
I'm with you.
Now, I mean, just before we conclude the episode, I want to make sure you got your production shit off. You know, you've been... So every day I'm seeing you upload a new beat. I'm seeing you're working with someone else. And I know that you have a tape coming that you want to promote. So let the people know what they need to know about that in particular.
Definitely. I'm not sure when this drops, but August 19th, Classic Material will be out. I linked up with 100 Grand Royce and Red Imp. Those are two dope artists out of New York. We came together to do one song. You know what I mean? Like, I was going to do, like, a little tape and just work with a bunch of artists that I rock with. And that one session that we went to turned into, like, 2.5 songs. The next session, we were almost like 75% done with the tape. I was like, nah, this has to be done. You know what I mean? Like, everything sounds good. It feels like summertime in New York. You know what I mean? Like, it really, I mean, you kind of get the sound that I'm going with, but if people never heard me, it's a lot of sample-driven shit, but like a lot of jazz and blues and... But it's sped up with like a nice swing to it. You know what I mean? So like this tape is going to give you like a Reasonable Doubt feel. I'm not trying to say like a classic, but like, you know what I mean? As far as the music, like you think of feeling it. You know what I mean? I have a record. The original name of the beat was It Should Have Been on Reasonable Doubt. Like think of like feeling it. Think of like AZ. Think of like Nas around that like 96 time. Like that's what the beats sound like, but updated and modern. You know what I mean? I'm throwing some bass under there. Like, it's kicks. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's not just like a loop, even though I do those. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to. But the tape itself, like, has that feel. You know what I mean? Like, I want people to, like, put it on and do, like, a store run. It's 6 songs. You know what I mean? Just about 20 minutes. But every record has a different feel. And it just has that summertime. Like, only way I can explain it is summertime in New York feel. You know what it is. You roll the window down, shit is playing. You want everybody to hear it. That's why I have the bass behind it. These niggas is nice. They can rap. There's hooks on it. You know what I mean? Like, we actually did writing. We were in the studio together for every single moment of this process. You know what I mean? So, like, it was a labor of love. Both of these artists are amazing. Shout out to Luna, the Love God, as well. She came through with vocals. I think I sent you that record as well. She's amazing, young lady out of Brooklyn. She's on 2 records, and it's you know what I mean. That's the only way I can put it, man. It's a classic material. It really has that classic material feel to it, man. So y'all go ahead and check it out. It's 100 Grand Royce all together, Red Imp, Syer, Syer, Classic Material. August 19th, it'll be out. I also have 2 beat tapes out that you can purchase, and it's also out for streaming purposes, but it's just the Mind of Syer. There's a side A and side B. The first part is pretty much just like the good energy feel, shit with like the 808s and good strings and all of that. And the second half has that grimy, you know, Griselda dark feel. And then the other side B is nice loops, light listening, you know, like something you could just ride around to. You know what I mean? And it kind of tells a story. That's another thing. I love telling stories with my music. So there's snippets throughout. Like, I have a joint called, you know, High Watcher Martin. And I put the parts of it when they was out on the island. That ain't a dog. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm trying to tell some stories throughout the project just to keep the listener in tune. You know what I mean? So a lot of the records have something behind it. So I'm telling stories with my music because I don't rap no more. But I still want to have a way to express myself, so I express myself through these projects. So it's available for purchase. You know what I mean? I guess I could send you the info. And again, it's also out there on streaming if y'all want to have it that way as well.
And as a podcast exclusive, Syer will be producing songs on my mixtape. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. I definitely got you.
Yeah, I know you fucking got me, nigga. This shit is non-negotiable. Fuck you, me.
Nigga, I got my number, so I can you.
You feel me?
It's love. I mean, I've been showing love from the beginning, from when you said that you wanted to do it. You know what I mean? I was throwing some ideas and tips your way. Pause. You know what I mean? So I want to see you do it. Listen, I was speaking with, shout out to George Cruz. I was speaking with him, and he was, you know, just speaking highly of you. It was just a private phone call. But, like, we were just kind of talking about things, and he's like, you're one of the people that he really wants to see have big success because he can see all of the things that you can do. So I'm not going to doubt you that you're not nice. You also be around dudes that are nice. So I kind of assume that you at least know that you can't be whack.
That's a fact. You know, at base level.
So, yeah, so I'm not going to doubt you. Look, you're amazing podcaster. You know what I mean? I know you're doing the improv thing. The rants have always been funny. You know what I mean? You're entertaining. So I'm like George, bro. I want to see you win just like everybody else, man. So I definitely got you. I'm not saying that shit bullshit. You know what I mean? It's just a nigga been a little busy, as you can see. But I got you. Definitely, I got you.
And yo,
you gotta, like, sit and maybe, you know, work on it.
Okay, if I got to go, I'm not going to say where you live, but if I got to go back, because I was in your town before, I mean, when I was moving and grooving. So if I got to go back to where you stay at and we got to connect, then I'm down to do that as well.
Well, listen, you don't got to go up to Trump Town because, you know, I'm not out there. So don't think that you'll be safe over by my side. All right.
You know what
I mean? But now we can figure it out because I'll be in and out of New York because I record, you know what I mean, a lot of this shit, the studios, I'll be out in New York. That's what I'm saying. We can figure something out and create something. But I definitely got you, bro. No bullshit.
And before we end out, I just wanted to tell you that I was at a Spicy Pole Brunch. That's Courtney Chauve's show for anybody that wants to follow that. Spicy Pole on Instagram, Courtney_SHAV. And I was at there supporting her. And George was there. And, you know, there was a woman that specialized in giving lap dances. And she was gallivanting around the bar, doing her thing, gyrating. And George had a certain level of lust in his eye. So me and a few of the homies just so happened to see the eye of the tiger that George had at that particular moment. And they was calling this nigga the Haitian Big Tigger. And I couldn't stop laughing, son.
I'm changing his name in my phone as we speak. Because that is... I'm so sorry.
They was like, look at Haitian... Nah, but I don't want to say who said it because just in case George doesn't think that's funny. So I'll just let George, like, bring the smoke my way. They was like, look at this nigga Haitian Big Tigger wilding for the lap day.
Oh, no. That is funny. Y'all hope these people know who he is, but yo, that is funny. Yo, George, I'm so sorry, bro, but that is
funny. Yo, they was like, look, first they was calling him Jacques, and then there was a...
Go ahead.
And then
I'm
after
sorry.
This nigga was called him Jacques, they was like, yo, Haitian Big Tigger is lusty over there. Look at this nigga.
No, I saw one of the flicks, son. I saw it in his eyes. I was like, nah, that nigga is lusty for real.
Yo,
oh, my goodness.
It's so real. Shorty gave him the lap dance. There was a big-ass, like, makeup spot in the middle of his T-shirt, and he didn't even care.
No, I'm not surprised, though, son. I'm really not surprised. Shout out to you, George.
Yeah, shout out to George. You know what I'm saying? But, yo, Brody, how can they follow you?
You guys can follow me everywhere. Now, let me stop lying because, you know, I'll be suspended and shit. But IG is Syer_SO. That's Syer_SO. And on Twitter, it is Syer_S0. I got to shake the feds. So, you know, you guys can follow me on one of those there or both. I appreciate you. And Project is on Bandcamp, on all DSPs. Syer, S-Y-E-R, or Syer on the beat. Gotta shake the feds.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Peace and blessings. Pass the dressing, and I'll holler at you niggas later.